213 of Financial Empowerment, a production of the California Society of CPAs and CalCPA Institute. I'm Bill Spaniel. According to the AARP, about 10,000 baby boomers are turning 65 every day. A Vanguard report indicates that the median 401k balance for those in the 55 to 64 age group is a little less than $188,000. That means that if they use the 4% rule for withdrawals from their investments during retirement, they will only realize an income of just over $7,000 annually. And baby boomers by no means are the only generation ill-prepared for retirement. Millennials should be socking away money for their retirement years, but research done by the National Institute on Retirement Security indicates that most millennials aren't even participating in their employer-sponsored retirement plan. We spoke with tax expert and CPA Mary Kay Foss about the mistakes people make regarding preparing for, or rather not preparing for, retirement. Hello, Mary Kay. Welcome to Financial Empowerment.
Thanks, Bill.
Mary Kay, our topic is mistakes people make regarding the financial aspects of retirement. Let me start by asking you what you think is the biggest mistake people make regarding their retirement.
Well, I think that people start planning too late. Mm-hmm. And even worse, people don't have a plan.
So how early should someone plan for retirement?
Well, I think that really a lot of people should start planning once they're kind of settled in their life. They know what they're going to do about housing. They know what they're going to do about marriage, whether they're going to have children. Once they've got to that point where they know what the problems are, that's when they should start working about long-term solutions.
In other words, fairly early in life, especially once they are married and have dependents. Is that what you are saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And also, you know, I think people who own a house, once you own a house, that's a real good kickstarter to get planning for your retirement, because that's a big liability you're assuming.
Let's talk about some of the components of retirement. For example, 401ks. Not everyone in the United States has a 401k, but many do. What are some of the mistakes associated with that program?
Initially, in order to participate in a 401k plan, you had to sign on. The more current method is that your employer will sign you on unless you opt out. So the first step is you definitely have to participate. Then the next item is to look to see if your employer is doing a match. That sometimes the employer will match 3% of your salary as long as you're contributing at least 3% of your salary. So you always want to contribute enough to get the match. Then in addition to that, you should contribute a lot more. Some people think they should pay off some other bills first before they participate in the 401k, but it's really important to get that early start and maybe put a little less in the 401k while you're working on some debts. But don't forget to use the 401k to get the employer match.
So obviously, a mistake people make is not opting in to the 401k plan.
Yes, that's a big mistake. It's a little harder to make now because most of the new plans you have to opt out. But if you have the opportunity to opt in, you should opt in.
What are the differences between a regular 401k and a Roth 401k? Should you choose one over the other?
The way the Roth 401k works is you're really putting after-tax money away. So most people are not in a financial situation to put everything into the Roth portion of the 401k plan. I think it's good to split the amount. For instance, I would say if you're putting only 8% into 401k, if you put 2% into the Roth portion and 6% into the tax-deferred portion, it probably is not going to adversely affect your income tax liability that much, but it will give you a really good start on a tax-free retirement from that plan.
Does your advice about 401ks also apply to IRAs? As many people who are self-employed will have IRAs rather than 401ks.
Having an IRA is a really good thing for a self-employed person. Actually, there are a number of plans for self-employed people. There are IRAs, or you could have a SEP, which is an employer plan that uses IRAs. Or you could use a simple plan or even set up your own 401k plan. The plan that you choose really depends on how much you want to put away. And so you want to see, you know, how much could I put away in an IRA versus a SEP, for example. The 401k for a self-employed person is a lot more complicated, but it does allow for, in some cases, almost double the contribution.
Well, 401ks and IRAs may make up a significant portion of some retirees' retirement plan. I think there are many people who, for one reason or another, believe they can rely primarily on Social Security. What are some of the mistakes in that regard?
I think people tend to rely on Social Security too much. For example, on the Social Security website, you can kind of estimate what your benefits will be. And so if you see what those benefits are and then compare that to what you're likely to pay for your mortgage and groceries and so on at retirement, it might come pretty close. But what it isn't going to cover likely is your health care, which is one of the most expensive things that a retiree faces. And Medicare doesn't cover everything. So people really have to supplement that Social Security. And again, Social Security is 85% taxable. You're paying income tax on it, whereas people tend to think that it's tax-free also. It's a good thing, but it's not the only thing.
You mentioned Medicare. There's a lot of things to choose. You've got Medicare Part A, Part D, PPO versus HMO, enrollment deadlines. It can be a bit overwhelming. What are some of the mistakes people make regarding Medicare?
It's really very interesting because Medicare Part A is the hospital part of the plan, and you have to sign up for that when you're 65. So you're not going to get Social Security benefits at 65. You know, well, you could get them at 62, but most people wait till the normal retirement age of 66. So, but at 65, you have to sign up for Medicare Part A. If you do not sign up then, your Medicare is going to be more expensive for you for the rest of your life. That's the first thing. Then when you get to your normal retirement age and you're starting your Social Security benefits, you sign up for Medicare Part B, and that's for the doctors. Again, Medicare is going to cover about 80%, so most people will then get a supplement to pick up that other 20%. And there's also a deductible often as well, so you've got some issues there. And we have Part D. Part D is covering the drugs. And again, this is something you have to sign up when you start with your Social Security Medicare Part B, because like the Part A, the Part B and D, which start later, if you don't sign up for them in time, you're going to pay more for them for the rest of your life.
So the sooner the better.
Yes, the first opportunity, that's when you want to sign in.
Okay, what about long-term care insurance? Should people sign up for that too?
Well, a lot of people have long-term care insurance, and if this is something you're going to need, you want to sign up for that early. Now, in some families, well, I guess you could say they don't linger. They don't expect that they're going to need any long-term care, or they live in a community where everybody helps each other out, and they don't expect that they're going to have long-term care. That's wonderful, and if people have those options, that's great. But for many people, they're not going to have anybody that's going to help with their long-term care, which is very, very expensive. So the premiums depend on your age when you start. To get the lowest premiums, you have to start younger. Some people will go into it later when it becomes more expensive, but if you wait too long, there are some exceptions. For instance, I believe that you cannot get long-term care if you are in a wheelchair or if you are using a walker. So you have to time this because it's an expense, but like all insurance, if you need it, you should have it.
In other words, get long-term care insurance while you're healthy.
Yes, that's exactly right.
What about wills and estate planning? What are some of the cautionary things you have to say about those items?
Well, a lot of people think they don't need a will or a trust agreement now, especially that the exemptions from estate tax are over $11 million per person. But estate tax is not the story for most people. Your will or your trust will say what happens to your assets when you're no longer there. And if you think that you don't need a will, the state has a will for you. So the state has their idea of what should happen to a person's assets who doesn't have a will, and they probably are not going to choose to distribute things the way that you would. So that's one problem with the will. With a trust in California and in many other states, if you don't have a trust, when you die, your assets will go through probate. That can be a lengthy procedure. It can be a little expensive, but if you have a trust, generally there's a very little time delay in going from the deceased person to the heirs. And so often if people have a major asset, like just their personal residence, they may want to have a trust agreement, even though they're far, far from $11 million worth of assets and don't have to worry about estate tax. But the most important thing, I'd say, is retirement plans. You know, we talked about 401ks at work and IRAs. So many people will have these retirement plans and they have a beneficiary on them. And you need to have that beneficiary current. Because if you don't have a current beneficiary and you pass away, those retirement benefits are going to be part of your estate. They're going to be part of a probate process. They're going to go to whomever the state thinks that people without a will or a trust should give their assets to.
Is there anything else you would like to add regarding mistakes people make when preparing for retirement?
I think sometimes people don't put all of the pieces together. For instance, maybe they'll have a trust that will leave things, say, to their three children, but then they'll have all of their bank accounts in joint names with one of those children, which means that that child will get all of those accounts. Or maybe they'll have their retirement plan beneficiary as the oldest child, expecting them to share it. The tax law does not expect that. So I think somebody really needs to sit down and put all of the pieces together. Even I, as a CPA, felt it was very valuable to just talk to a financial planner who kind of got me thinking about budgeting for retirement and all of the pieces of my assets and what would happen to them.
To sum up Mary Kay Foss's advice on retirement planning, don't put off planning for your golden years until the last minute. We appreciate your listening to CalCPA's Financial Empowerment Program, which was produced in November 2018. If you would like to comment about our show, have a question for a CPA, or would like to suggest topics for future programs, write us at financialempowerment@calcpa.org or simply visit www.calcpa.org. You can search there for a California CPA who can help you save on taxes, better manage your investments, or budget for those rainy days even sunny California sometimes has. Just click on the Find a CPA link. This is Bill Spaniel, and you've been listening to Edition 213 of Financial Empowerment, a production of the California Society of CPAs and CalCPA Institute.